If you'd like to, you might be opening your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 will be where we'll focus our attention on this evening. It's good to see everyone out this evening. Hope you enjoy the beautiful day that the Lord's blessed us with. I mentioned this morning that I accomplished a great task in that I was able to fix the faucet that was leaking outside. I thought that was really pretty amazing and able to accomplish that without any real problems. Because I was able to understand the principle, see it done, and then it gave me confidence to conquer it myself. Well, I also had the idea of putting in a new shower. And so I was able to see a video of how to install the Schluter system. The Schluter system is a way to waterproof the shower so that you can put the tile on and everything works just right. Well, I watched it at least two times, and at the end of that process, I said, this man is a professional. There's no way that I can do this. Now, maybe if I practiced several times, I would be able to do it, but I would be practicing on my own shower first, and if I messed up, which I probably would, then it would cost more, and you know how that goes. Maybe you've been there before. It is amazing when you see somebody that is experienced, that knows what they're doing, they just make it look so easy. You go into a doctor and you've got all these ailments and you have an idea of what you think it is, but they just pinpoint it because they have the experience. Or you go to a mechanic, you've got a problem with your car, and they just listen to it and they say, I can tell you what the problem is right now. Or you go to a cook and you say, well, this doesn't taste right. And they say, you got a little, need more salt or need more cayenne pepper or whatever it is. You go to a seamstress and you look at this quilt and they say, well, the blind stitching there is, what does all that mean? You have people that have experience. Isn't it amazing when you see a Christian who knows what they're doing and they face a situation and they say just the right thing? They do just the right thing. They just act in the right way. It's really amazing. Well, how do you get there? Well, we need experience. And what I'd like for us to do is focus in on Colossians chapter 1. The prayer that Paul prays is a prayer that I think helps us to understand that process of maturing so that we can get to that point where we know what we're doing. We are in a mature state of being a Christian. Now, opening up to Colossians, we find in chapter 1 that Paul is addressing the brethren there at Colossae, and apparently Paul had never been there. Paul did not know the brethren at Colossae personally. A lot of times when he writes a letter, he has not only been there before, but he was the one that took the gospel to that place initially. Well, not in Colossae. We don't know exactly the history. Maybe if it was Epaphras. Because in the first chapter, he talks about hearing of the faith and the love and the hope of the brethren there at Colossae and how they had turned to God, the gospel of God, in truth. That, and let's pick up reading here in chapter 1 and verse 7. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras, maybe he was the one that first brought the gospel, but he at least was one of the men, one of the preachers, who spent time there in Colossae, got to know them, and apparently has visited Paul when Paul was in prison and told Paul about the brethren. And so Paul just has to write him. He doesn't just have to write him. Verse 9, for this reason we also, he has to pray for him. For this reason we also, the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I would like for us to focus in on Paul's desire for these brethren. Paul's desire to the extent that he prayed this prayer for the brethren. Not just for the brethren at Colossae, but I hope we can own this prayer as well. So he begins by saying, I do not cease to pray for you and to ask that. Here's a reason why he prays, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. There was a problem in Colossae. The roots, the beginnings of Gnosticism was springing up in Colossae. There were those who were the knowing ones, they called themselves, the Gnostics, the knowing ones. They were so smart, they knew more than anybody else. They knew certain passwords that got them to new levels of spirituality. They were the knowing ones that knew the mysteries of God. No one else knew these things. Apostle Paul doesn't say, I pray that you might be one of the Gnostics, these knowing ones, be filled with the knowledge of your own will as you come to understand more. Notice that he says, I want you to come to a knowledge of his will. He's talking about the will of God. Chapter 2 and verse 3, as he's talking about, well, let's start with verse 1. Chapter 2 and verse 1 of Colossians. For I want you to know what is a great conflict I had for you and those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches and full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul knew where the source of understanding was, and that is in the knowledge of the will of Christ, in the knowledge of the teachings of God. And so Paul wanted these brethren to be filled with that. To be a mature Christian, we have to know what the Bible says. I mean, what doctor is there that we would trust who says, hey, I don't need that anatomy class. You know, that class on how drugs interact, I don't need that. Just give me a scalpel. Or what tree trimmer would we trust who says, I don't need to know about ropes and about how to tie knots and about all that stuff. Just give me a chainsaw. Or the couple that says, don't tell me about marriage and about love and about respect and about how God wants marriage. We're in love. Or the Christian who says, that Old Testament, it's so dry and uninteresting. Why do I need to know that? Why did Paul write the brethren at Colossae? Why did he write Timothy? What did he have to say to the people at Ephesus? What did Jesus have? I mean, what does it matter? Just give me a light so that I can be the light of the world. Well, we can't be the light of the world if we don't know what that light is. We must know the Word of God. And so the Apostle Paul prays that they would come to a full knowledge, that they come to be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's one reason why there's so much religious error today. That's one reason why there's so many divergence, so many different churches, so many different areas of departure, of apostasy. It's not because people are coming to know the will of God, but because they don't know the will of God, because of the ignorance that is around. Paul says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge. Just like Jesus, as we looked at this morning. When he was faced with a temptation, he didn't have to say, well, I'm going to have to go study that, whether I can turn this stone into bread. Or I'm going to have to go ask my preacher about whether or not I can bow down to you. I'm going to have to research this and find some commentaries about whether or not you use this passage in Psalms correctly. He knew the will of God. And since he was filled with the will of God, when the temptation presented itself, he knew what to do. To be a mature Christian, we need to have that storehouse of knowledge. But notice the connection that you may have, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's one thing to be knowledgeable. It's one thing to have the data points. And it's another thing to know how they connect together. It's another thing to know how they connect to our lives and to be used in our lives. Notice in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, the 119th Psalm, this psalm writer writes this entire psalm, the longest one, all about the will of God, all about knowing the law of God. And we'll just look at a few verses here in the midst of it where he couples that knowledge with wisdom. He says in verse 97 of the 119th Psalm. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. Number one, he's not saying, I am smarter than everyone else. He's saying, when I know your law, when I know what your will is, that makes me wiser. That's the source of my wisdom. And it makes him wiser than his enemies. It's important to be wiser than our spiritual enemies because they're trying to defeat us. For us to defeat them, we need to have more wisdom. We continue there. For they are ever with me, verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than in the ancients, because I keep your precepts, more than the ancients, more than the aged ones. I don't know who the psalm writer is talking about, but we certainly have the privilege of having the data points put together for us more than the people of the Old Testament. You think about David, you think about Solomon, you think about Abraham and Moses, how great men of faith they were, but we have an even greater advantage because we have the source of more wisdom and more knowledge that God has given to us. We continue in verse 101. I don't say that very often, do I? Verse number 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. He enjoyed studying. He enjoyed coming to understand. He enjoyed contemplating, meditating on the Word of God, because there was great fruit that came from that in his understanding in life. A person is not qualified to be a doctor when he graduates from medical school, but after he practices medicine for a while. The 16-year-old is not a good driver, even though they can take a test and get all of the answers right. In fact, perhaps a 16-year-old might do better on a written test than some of us who have been driving for a long time. But we still give them the keys, even though they're not good drivers, because there's only one way to learn how to drive a car, and that is to get some head knowledge and then get behind the wheel and turn it on and start driving. That's the only way to gain experience. And the same thing with life. We can sit and we can study, but to have wisdom, we have to use the wisdom in life and meditate on how it all fits together. And God wants us to do that. In the book of Hebrews, in the 5th chapter, we find that the Hebrews writer wanted to talk about something that was difficult to talk about because of the depth of understanding that was necessary. We want to talk about the high priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Well, to understand the high priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, you need to understand what a high priesthood is. You need to understand its relationship to the law. You need to understand who Melchizedek was. And a lot of background information was necessary to grasp the concepts of this high priesthood. But the people that he wrote to, the Hebrews writer wrote to, really weren't going to grasp it, and because they had not developed their understanding. So he says in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have become need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." The Hebrews writer did not rebuke them for being a babe. There's nothing wrong with being a babe. What he was rebuking them for was staying a babe, not progressing, not growing. God wants us to learn and understand and become greater and greater in our understanding, our wisdom as time goes by. He wants us to exercise our understanding. He wants us to use it in life. He wants us to become experienced. He says in the very next verse 14, chapter 5 and verse 14, He says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I appreciate those who come to Bible class regularly. I appreciate those who have studied their lessons thoroughly. I appreciate those who spend time outside of our Bible classes, studying the Bible with our daily Bible readings, of having private studies, of spending time reading their Bibles themselves. Because this is really the only way that we're going to continue to grow. The way that we're going to continue to mature in our wisdom and our understanding is to continue to learn and continue to read and continue to understand and continue to use that in our lives. All people who become elders, I think that's a great goal, is it not, for the men and for their wives to support the men in becoming elders. The only way that's going to happen is for you to understand the Word of God and to use it in life so that you might become mature. The only way to become a deacon is for you to use the Word of God in your life. The only way to become a good Bible class teacher is for you to use the Word of God in your life. The only way for you to continue to mature as an individual Christian is for you to use the Word of God in your life so that you might become filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul then shifts, even though it really seems to be connected. The first request was that they might be filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then there is another that. So it's another reason why or focus or goal of this prayer. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. The book of Colossians talks a lot about walking as God wants us to walk. In chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, and beginning with verse 5, he goes through an extended list of things that need to change. I think it's noted, it's important to note, that Paul was talking to Christians. So just because someone becomes a Christian doesn't mean that he or she has it all figured out. Doesn't mean that they have their life all perfect and all in order and all going in the right direction. It's a process. It's a growth process that we need to go through where we are getting rid of the things where we are weak in and where we need to strengthen ourselves and where we need to put other things in there. He talks about putting off in verse 5. Put to death the members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. And he goes through with the list of that. And he wants them to put on in verse 12, the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that, but in fact, this Friday, we are going to go and have it's the 29th. It's the last Friday of this month, and the first day of April. We are going to go, the men are going to go, and we're going to talk about this specifically. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Why do we, as Christians, need to get together and talk about that? Haven't we already become Christians? Yes. But it is a process of growth where we need to continue to press so that, and notice how he says this, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord. What does that mean to be worthy of the Lord? He says that in other places. He says that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, after he talked about all of the many spiritual blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. He says in chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 12, he, writing about his teaching and preaching there at Thessalonica, says that you would have a walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom in glory. What does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord, to have a walk worthy of God, to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called? That is a high standard. To, in a sense, walk side by side with God. God is holy and God is righteous and God has been doing good things for all eternity. And here we are, newbies. We are just getting started in this process. But to walk on a level with God is really practically impossible, but is a goal that the Apostle Paul is praying for, that these brethren in Colossae would rise to the occasion to have a walk that is worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing. This certainly would be fully pleasing unto the Lord. And that being fruitful in every good work. Isn't it true that fruit is going to be the natural outcome of our service to the Lord, of filling ourselves with the knowledge of God, of having wisdom, of having a walk worthy of God? There is going to be fruit. You know, when Jesus told the parable of the soils in Matthew chapter 13, he talked about three soils that did not, the baseline is, they didn't have good fruit. When he got to the fourth, the good and honest heart, he talked about it produces fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It really can't help it. It's going to happen naturally. When an individual is walking worthy of the Lord, there is going to be good fruit that is produced in them. And we've read many times, Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22, about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and kindness and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Those things are going to be produced in our lives naturally as we mature. They are going to bud and they are going to mature and they are going to be the fruit that comes out of our lives. And he says, increasing in the knowledge of God. What better way to know someone than to walk in their steps? We know the pathway of the Lord because he describes it for us in the Word of God. So as we walk in the path of God, we really become better acquainted with God. We get to know God even more. We, in a sense, walk in his shoes. He is the one that has given us this path in order to walk on. It's one thing for us to say, I know the way of God, I understand what God wants, and it's another thing, and have you ever had this happen to you, where you're doing something that God says just because he said to do it, and at some point you say, now I understand why you want me to do it that way, God. Now I understand why this is such an important quality to have. Because I see how it fits together. I see how the fruit that it has in my life. I see what it has produced in me. I see why that this is so important to you. That's an important point of our growth when we grow, when we increase in the knowledge of God. I'll try to illustrate it this way. Before you get married, you probably spend a lot of time studying your wife, or vice versa, or studying your husband. You want to know everything about him. You want to know where they were born, when they were born. You want to know about their mom and dad and about their parents. You want to know what they like and what they don't like. You're constantly gathering data, more data, more data. You talk and talk and talk, and you're just fascinated by this individual. But it's another thing to live with them. And the knowledge that you gain from actually living with someone is much greater than just getting facts about someone. Well, the same thing with coming to know before we become a Christian. We want to understand the gospel. We want to understand about Jesus Christ. We want to understand how it all fits together. But it's another thing to live with Christ. It's another thing to walk with Christ. We come to understand who he is. We come to understand how great he is and how privileged we are to be able to be in fellowship with him. And he says, and I think directly connected to all of this, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. We can only truly be strong when we know the will of God and when we're walking as God wants us to walk. Our strength comes in knowing what is right. And we know what's right when we increase our knowledge of the will of God. A strength is found when we know the Lord, not just know the facts about the Lord, but are in a relationship with the Lord. There is a strength that comes from experiencing righteousness in our lives. There is a strength that comes in being mature, just like that doctor who is well practiced, or that engineer who understands, or that mom, that cook, that seamstress, that individual who has the maturity of experience as well as the knowledge. There is a firmness there. There is a strength there. There is a stability there. And we can have that as we are empowered by what God has given to us. And this is certainly what Paul wanted them to do. So when we look at these verses all together, one thing that I see is that there is, in a sense, an upward spiral of our knowledge. Let me try to put it this way. Paul begins his prayer by saying, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. Of course, you have to have knowledge in order to have wisdom, in order to know how it all fits together. But that knowledge and that wisdom is going to affect the way that we walk in a worthy way. And when we walk in a worthy way, we are going to come to know God better. And when we become to know God better, we are going to find ourselves stronger. But it's not as if, well, you get it all the knowledge figured out. Okay, I got 100% knowledge, I've got zero wisdom, and now I'm going to start working on my wisdom. That's not the way it works. You start gathering the knowledge, and then you use it so that you might get wisdom, which will help you in turn to walk worthy, which will help you in turn to know God better, which will help you in turn to become stronger, which is going to help you in turn to gain more knowledge, which will help you to have more wisdom, which will help you to be able to walk worthy, which will help you to increase in your knowledge of God, which will help you to become stronger, which will help you to gain more knowledge and become wiser and to walk worthy. It's an upward spiral of knowledge that God has given to us. And so the Apostle Paul is praying to God so that this process might take place in their lives, so that, let's go back to those verses there, because he says, I do not cease to pray for you all. Notice the superlatives in this. To ask that you may be filled, not just have a little spattering, but to be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's going to take time for that upward spiral to take place. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened in all might, according to His glorious power. This is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the brethren there in Colossae, but is a prayer for each of us as well. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come into Your presence recognizing that You have blessed us with a relationship through Jesus Christ. The truth that You've given to us, that we have embraced when we came to Christ, is something that is a treasure to us. And because of that, we ask You that You will help each of us to be filled with the knowledge of Your will. It is our desire not to simply become and it's people that just know a little bit about You. We want to know, we want to be filled with the knowledge of Your will. And we want the wisdom that comes with that, the spiritual understanding. We pray, dear God, that You will help us to have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this is our desire, Lord, not simply to fill our heads and our minds, but to fill our lives. We ask that You will help us to have a walk that is worthy of our Lord. We understand that that goal is too high for us to attain. But we would ask, dear Lord, that You will see our hearts and see our efforts, and that You will see that we truly seek to reflect the light of Christ in our lives, and that we please You because of that. We ask that there be a great deal of fruit that comes in every good work that we are involved with, fruit that increases to Your glory and not to ours, and that You will help us to increase in the knowledge of you, a relationship with You, so that we might come to know You and all of Your attributes and Your characteristics better. We know that this is going to strengthen us because we recognize that all might and all strength and all power is residing within You, and we want to cling to that. We want to trust in that, and we pray that You will bless us with all strength. Help us to be patient and long-suffering and to have joy. And we thank You, Father. You have qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You have delivered us from darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian in the audience this evening, I would encourage you to take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to become skilled in being like God, to having the light of Jesus Christ manifested in your life. If you're not a Christian, you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to be willing to change your life, to give it over to the Lord, to change it however He wants you to change it, and to confess His name, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not just initially, but every day of your life, by the life that you live as well as your mouth. And to be baptized, a point in time, which is the transition point from being a sinner to being a saint, from being a child of the devil to being a child of God, to begin this life, this spiraling upward, to being a better and better and more mature individual in the service of the Lord. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to become one tonight. If you are one and for some reason have jumped off the staircase and need to get back in your life right with Him, we would encourage you to come back while we stand and sing.